Good morning.
Well, I tell you, I've got just a few minutes extra this morning, so I want to encourage all of you to, we have a midweek Bible study on Wednesdays. I'd love for you to come. The only reason I'm letting you know, because people ask me all the time, do we have a midweek Bible study or a midweek Bible service? And so the answer is yes, we do. And our team kid meet at 6 o'clock. A lot of energy, a lot of excitement up here. We'll join in all together, and we sing a few songs together. And then the kids at 10 after, they'll go and start their Bible study and scripture memory, and our teenagers go upstairs. And it's a lot of fun. And we've been going through the Hallelujah Psalms, started about Psalm 92, and we are on Psalm 97 now, and we'll be going up through Psalm 100 leading up to Thanksgiving. So I want to invite you to that. We have a wonderful time together. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, the Faith Hall of Fame. We are continuing our study about faith. What is faith? Why is it important? How were the people of God to live? How were the people of God to die? Looking at these three verses this morning, I'll be honest with you, when I've always read Hebrews 11, I come to these three verses and I just kind of look at them and I read through them, and I read through them with a lot of conviction and excitement, but I've never really put them into perspective and understood them like I do now. So hopefully I can shed some light on to you about these verses. You know, in this journey of life, it is a pilgrimage. It begins and it ends. You know, the Hebrews talks about that everyone has a date with death, and then comes our judgment. And I think even in our context, with our going over our many prayer concerns and our prayer list, every week we have new hurts and new pains, and we're reminded as we wake up in the morning that our old bodies are wearing out, and it's inevitable. They're breaking down, and there is an end to this earth, to this point in season and time in our life. And so it's very, very important. We talked about a few weeks ago, the Puritans, they really stressed dying well, living well and dying well. I've encouraged you in walking the life of faith. If we live well with our eyes on Jesus, when we come to our final time, whether we're on the bedside or whether death happens immediately, kind of unsuspectingly, we'll be prepared and we'll be ready. We won't be caught off guard. And so our time this morning, I hope, will encourage you. A few weeks ago, we talked about seeing from a distance. We talked about a better place, a heavenly homeland. We talked about in Hebrews 11, verse 13, we talked about these patriarchs and these people in this Faith Hall of Fame. They received the things promised. They didn't receive the things promised, but they saw them from afar. Remember, Abraham would see from afar that day Jesus the Messiah would come, and it says he rejoiced. And we talked about all of the heirs of the promise. They were looking toward this land, but they were pilgrims. They were sojourners. They were refugees in a sense. They were exiles. And you know what that feels like, maybe, possibly. When you're in a strange place, you're way away from home, and you look a little different, and you people around you act a little different, and it's just lonesome. It's lonely. People of God, I hope that you feel like you're in a lonely place, because our eyes are on a different country. All right, we are to walk in faith. These heroes were seeking a homeland, a better place, a better homeland. And it says that God was not ashamed to call them. He was not ashamed to these heroes, and he called them his friend. He's prepared a city for these men and these women. And I want to look with you. I want you to look with me in verses 20 of 22 this morning. If you would stand with me, we'll read it together. Hebrews 11, verses 20 and 22. It's just three verses. And I want you to think about why these verses would be important to these Hebrews who were tempted to fall back, who were tempted to go back to the Jewish laws and customs and rituals and to maybe leave a life of faith. Think about it. These people, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, why would the writer put them in here? Let's read it together. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. Father, would you open our eyes to see clearly this morning? Would you bless your word for your namesake? Will you encourage and uplift and strengthen your people? Father, would you draw sinners to yourself? God, we pray that we would see clearly this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope you see the importance of this now as we talk about being faithful to the end, dying in faith. Ray Stedman, the thought of a faith still trusting in the very face of death leads the writer to focus on Abraham's descendants. This is Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. They see their own death and yet look beyond in unwavering faith. And the point of all three of these clearly show aspects of the future because they exercise faith in what was invisible at the present. Remember what we talked about faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. These people were looking and expecting and believing God. And their lives were lined up accordingly. And so all three of these characters mentioned here are at the very end of their life. Even Isaac here, he would live several more years, but he's feeble, he can't see, and he's getting old when he calls his sons together to bless them. And we're going to talk about how God works even in the face of unfit characters. You can't thwart God's sovereign plan. And even we're going to talk about that. We're going to see the point of all three is that God clearly saw aspects of the future because they exercised faith in what was invisible at the present. These men were not dreamers or merely wishful thinkers. They saw invisible realities and adapted their own lives and that of their own descendants accordingly. One of the first things that I want to show to you is that death cannot frustrate God's promises. It was when he was near death that Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. He gave blessings and Joseph gave instructions in light of the nearness of death. Like I said, and this was the conviction that they had that their death could not frustrate God's purposes. Their faith was such that they were sure God would work his will so they could speak with confidence of what would happen after they died. Their faith being stronger than death in a way overcome death for their words were fulfilled. They rested on the truth that God always keeps his words and that he was a covenant-keeping God. So in thinking about, we're going to talk a little bit this morning about what it means to die strong in the faith. But in that, let me ask the question about our living. Are we living in light of God's promises? Do we live with the expectation that Jesus is coming back? Do we live in the expectation that he is going to judge the living and the dead? He is going to set up his eternal rule and that all those who have loved him and trusted him will be his friends and will rule and reign with him forever. You know, it's easy for us to get caught up in life. It's easy for us to get caught up in going and doing and spending and being entertained. And it's easy to take our eyes off of what we've talked about and get sidetracked. This writer to the Hebrews is talking about, and he's put these three patriarchs of the faith in here to show them that at the very end of their life, These men, they knew that there was much more awaiting. It was much more, and it would have to do with their kids and their grandkids. And they wanted to be faithful, and they were faithful to the very end. They weren't perfect, but their mind was on eternity, and it affected the way they lived, and it affected the way they loved their families and the way they led their families. We've got here, look at verse 20 here. At the very end of their life, Isaac, in verse 20, it says, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Now, in looking at that, and we're going to look at this story just for a minute. Why was that listed here? Well, we're talking about dying in faith. We're talking about living well. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. The father's blessing of that day involved giving a double portion of the inheritance to the oldest son and giving prayers that were somewhat of a sense of prophecy of the young man's future. Now, we know that Isaac, his favorite son, and my wife tells me I'm not to have favorites and with my children, and sometimes the kids pick at me and they say that Bethany's my favorite, and Bethany's not my favorite. Look at Bethany, she's grinning over here. I love little Bethany, I love little Will, and I love little Savannah all the same. I see wonderful characteristics in all of them, that God has his hand on them, God's working in their life. But this guy right here, we see with Isaac, that Isaac, Esau was supposed to get the double portion. Esau was the oldest. Remember that Rebekah, at the birth of the two sons in Genesis 25, that God comes to her and he shows her, he says, the older shall serve the younger. And Jacob came out holding the heel of his brother, and that was symbolic of God's saying to his people that Jacob would be the one blessed with a double portion of the inheritance, and Esau would serve his younger brother. Well, Isaac, whether he wasn't focused on that, whether or not he didn't understand that, whether or not he didn't choose to think about it, he was going to bring Isaac. He told the firstborn, Esau, and he told him, he said, go, and he said, prepare a game. Go kill an animal. Go kill a deer or some game, and make me some of your special stew, and bring it to me and let me enjoy it. I'm gonna bless you. Well, we know the story of these scheming characters. Jacob, his name means schemester and trickster. But we know his wife, Rebekah, heard what happens. And let me tell you, Jacob was a mama's boy. All right? Jacob, it was clear that Rebekah loved Jacob. And when she heard this to be the case, what did she do? She told Jacob, come here. Your father's fixed to give your brother the firstborn the blessing, and I want you to receive it. So I'm going to go get me a couple of goats, and we're going to make some stew, and I want you to go in to give it to him. And Jacob says, but Mama, Daddy knows. Even though he can't see, remember he couldn't see well, he said, Daddy's going to know. He said, well, look, I'm going to get some animal skins, and we're going to put them over your up on your neck and put them on your hand. And because remember, Jacob, Esau was very hairy, and it says that Jacob's skin was real smooth. Right? Esau was that man's man. He had that manly smell. I mean, he smelt like the outdoors. He was an outdoorsman. Right? And Jacob knew that his father wasn't, though he was getting old and couldn't see, he said, is this really going to work? His mama said, yeah, it's going to work. Let's do it just like this. You go and you just listen to me. Well, that's what they did. So Jacob goes out to kill an animal. Esau, I'm going to get these names. I'm glad y'all know the story, right? I'm just getting these names. I know what, my dad says, son, he said, I know what I'm thinking. You're supposed to read my mind. And I'm sorry, I'm talking to y'all like this morning. Y'all are supposed to read my mind. I know what I'm thinking. I'm going to try to help you know what the scriptures teach. Most of you know the story. But Esau goes out to the field to kill a deer and then make some famous venison stew. All right? But while that's going on, Mama and little brother are going through with their plan. So Jacob goes in to Isaac. And he says, that was so quick. The Lord, and Isaac, Jacob even says, yeah, the Lord bless me. I mean, there was just one or two schemes after another. And here it is. And he brought him close. He touched his arms. He brought him close. He smelled him. And sure enough, he went forward with the blessing. And with this blessing, in Genesis, I'm going to flip over and read you the blessing. He blesses Jacob with the blessing he would give the firstborn. Isaac blesses Jacob. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke. I've told you that. And he goes out. So he went to the father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I'm Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat my game that your soul may bless me. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? He answered, because the Lord your God granted me success. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hand are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother's Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, are you really my son Esau? He said, I am. Then he said, bring it to me, bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you. So he brought it near to him and ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. He says, then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, now here we go. See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of the heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let the people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. And may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you. Now listen to this. This is somewhat sad to me, but in God's sovereign plan, We know that in Romans 9 and Malachi 1 and 2, Jacob, have I loved, Esau, have I hated. We know that we can't throw it. Who is the potter to say that he was wrong in the things he does? We see God's sovereign hand of election in Romans 9. And for whatever reason, through the descendants of Abraham, God saw fit to bless this schemester Jacob. Remember, by grace through faith alone, not by human reason, not by human work, not by human effort. God had a plan. And it just so happened that even in the soap opera of events, God does what God wants to do, and it happens just as God wants it to happen. That's important for us to know. Some of you who are working hard and running hard and human reason, human intellect, human decision, let me tell you something. The thief on the cross said, the middleman said, I can come. The middleman on the cross said, I could come. He didn't completely understand the doctrine of justification by faith. He didn't understand it all. He had never even been baptized, but he placed faith in the man on the middle cross. Guys, we don't understand it all. We don't have to have all the answers, but we need to rest and we need to sit down in the sovereign work of God by sending Jesus to die in our place, our substitute. It's the election of God. Jacob would receive the blessing. We see here, it happens as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob. When Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game that you may bless me. His father Isaac said to him, who are you? Whoa. He answered, I am your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it, and all before you came, and I have blessed him, yes, and he shall be blessed. As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing. Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me out these two times. He says, he took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. He took my birthright, now he took my blessing. Then he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? Isaac answered and said to Esau, behold, I have made him Lord over you and all his brothers. I have given him to you for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from you. We know the story. Now Jacob hated Esau. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother, Jacob. But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, and she said, Go to my brother Laban. Go back and don't marry. Please don't marry any of these pagan women. Go find you a wife, and go. Your son's plotting to kill you. Go and flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and forgets what you have done to him. She says, then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I bereft of you both? He said, I hate to see both of you get killed, both of you die here. And we see what happens here. But we see Isaac blessing his sons, and we see in God's sovereign plan, in his purposes, could not be thwarted. Jacob would be dominant one, and Esau would be in submission to him. Isaac had a natural liking to Esau, but as I said, Jacob was a mama's boy. Rebekah's deception and Jacob's deceit also. You ask me, how was Isaac acting in faith when he was tricked? That's a good question, right? Why is Isaac listed in this faith hall of fame when he was tricked? Well, it's simple. He didn't come back. He didn't say, well, this shouldn't have happened like this. He believed God. He believed God was sovereign. He knew that through Abraham all the descendants would be blessed. And he remembered probably the prophecy to Rebekah that the older shall serve the younger. He said, Jacob has been blessed and he shall be blessed. He didn't try to change it. He didn't try to thwart it. And at the end of his life, he believed God to accomplish his purposes, even through scheming, joking people. Now, that should, in a certain sense, encourage us and give comfort to us. One, knowing that we talked about this past Wednesday that our God reigns and he's on his throne, but also the fact that these people were listed in this faith hall of fame. Jacob would, in this journey of faith, God would work. God would appear to him in a vision. God would rename him, and God would bless him. And you know what? I can't help but to think it's somewhat ironic that this same scenario happens in Jacob's life when he adopts the two sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. Jacob goes to bless his two sons he adopted as his own, because Reuben was supposed to get the inheritance, but he took his father's concubine in and withdrew his double portion of the blessing. And so so basically what it happens is God is placing, Jacob is giving Joseph the blessing of the firstborn. In taking his two sons in, Manasseh and Ephraim, he adopts them, and he crosses his hand when he goes to bless them, and puts the right hand on the younger, Ephraim, and the left hand on the older, Manasseh. And Joseph gets confused and says, wait, Dad, you're messing it up. And he crosses his hands. And Jacob says, no, I know exactly what I'm doing. Once again, the older is going to serve the younger. Now, I got a twin brother, and I think about this. You know, just all this backwards and the younger getting the blessing. And it's just kind of interesting to think about. God has a plan. God has a purpose. We don't know why God does the things he does, but who are we to second guess him? We trust him. We believe him. Ephraim would be the greater of the two nations, just as Israel and Edom would be in conflict. Edom means red, would come from the nation of Esau, the Edomites. God's covenant people, Israel, coming from Jacob. God is on his throne. But even in these characters, Jacob is blessed. Ephraim is blessed. By blessing his sons, Isaac was acting in the faith that God would fulfill the prophecy of that blessing, and in effect would confer the blessing of Abraham on the one whom Isaac would bless. God had the upper hand, and his word to Rebekah would stand. And he affirmed it in this Genesis 27:33. I bless you, brother, and he shall. I bless your brother, and he shall be blessed. All these characters were deceptive and acted selfishly, yet God used them all in his sovereign plan to choose Jacob and reject Esau. Romans 9, God's purposes will stand no matter what. Not on human choice or human effort, but God who has mercy. This story should help us to trust God even when circumstances don't seem to add up. Let me tell you something. Jacob, at this point, when he blessed his sons, was living, or Joseph, when he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, but also even Jacob. These guys are living in a foreign land. They don't even own a piece of land. They own nothing. But remember what I told you. Dying faith allows us to see and believe God's promises, knowing they will 100% confidently come true. Are you living life, and are you toward the end of your life knowing that God's promises will come true? I can't help but to tell you and be reminded every week, every day, and I can look around at many of you right now. Many of you are going to have tests run this week. Many of you have had tests run last week. As we grow older, as we know our bodies are breaking down, as we know the CAT scans are showing things, as we know that the upper endoscopies and the colonoscopies, they're showing polyps, they're showing spots, it's inevitable that we do have a date with destiny. Living right in trust and faith in the Lord Jesus prepares us for that sweet dying grace that God gives His own people. Just some points to ponder that I listed down. I didn't want to get too quickly to application, but I am going to jump forward to some of it. In these points to ponder, dying in faith is dying looking toward the future, believing and expecting the promises of God to come to pass. We've talked about that. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph conferring blessings on their children. And even Joseph saying, please, please, please take my bones. It had been 200 years before Joseph asked his people and sons to take his bones back to Canaan, God's promised land. It would be 200 more years before Pharaoh would forget Joseph and the people that are now multiplying in Goshen on the outskirts of Egypt would go back to the promised land. Why would Joseph say, please take my bones back to Canaan land? Because he's dying in faith, trusting the promises of God. He wants to be with God's people, trusting and believing God's promises in the middle of God's plan. And he knows one day there's going to be a station, a group of people that are rallying around this promised land that are flourishing and thriving. And he wants to be known with the people of God. Now you got to remember this. Joseph's children grew up beside Pharaoh's children. They had to be friends. They had all of the lavish riches of Egypt. Egypt was the most blessed nation in on all the land, and Jacob was second in that land under Pharaoh. There would one day be a shrine in Egypt of Jacob saving all of the people from famine. Of all the things that the writer of Hebrews could list about Jacob, about Joseph's life, why did he list the fact that he wanted his bones back in Canaan land? Why was that important? I mean, all the things the writer could say about Joseph. We could say that he saved his people from famine. We could say that he rejected Potiphar's wife's advances to be loyal and faithful to God and loyal to Pharaoh. We could say that when God forgot about him, he never lost the faith in a dungeon, in a jail cell, when people lied to him, when people tricked him, when his brothers sold him off in slavery. Joseph stayed the course. Joseph remained faithful. And all that the writers of Hebrews could say, he said, Joseph was a man of faith because at the end of his life, he wanted his bones back in Canaan. And they would take him back to Shechem. Can you remember? Think about this. It's kind of funny to think about it because in our family vacations, right, there's always, we're trying to get the last little bit of stuff in the car. I got three kids, and once we get the truck filled up, next thing you know, stuff starts going under their feet, right? They don't like that too much. Daddy, there's no room back here for that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Can you imagine 200 years after Joseph died, after his father died, and then... 200 years, Joseph would die. Now, and it had been 200 years since Joseph died, and these people come together, and they begin to go back with Moses to the promised land, to Bethel, to Shechem, to this land that God had promised his people. And can you imagine somebody saying, did you get the bones of Joseph? Right? We got everything packed up, the caravans, the mules, the everything packed up, but don't forget the coffin of Joseph, because we got to take it back. Remember the cave of Machpelah where Abraham was born? He had that he got for his wife Sarah, and then Abraham was died. Leah was there. Remember that also Isaac was there. Jacob was there. Remember the big grand finale that after Jacob died. Remember all the people Joseph went to Pharaoh and said, after 40 days of fasting and praying. He said they had embalmed Jacob, and he said, my father told me, it's the same thing, the same principle. My father begged me to please take him back to the promised land. Pharaoh, I've got to be loyal to my father, and I've got to be faithful to my God, and I've got to take Jacob, my father, back to Canaan. And Pharaoh tells him to go, take him back. And it's just, I mean, you get this time, it's like an act of worship. The people are all together, they're all caravanning back to take Jacob back to this cave. These people died in faith, believing the promises of God. They lived their lives believing the promises of God. And I can't help, church, listen to me. I can't help seeing how busy everyone is. I can't help seeing, but all the park and rec games. I went last night to go pray at the rodeo up there. After 51 years at the Morgan County, what do you call that place? Coliseum. After 51 years of having this world annual horse racking championship, they're going to move it now because they can't get the people to come. I don't know. I mean, things that used to be revolved around family and friends and relationships, things that and it's just the season. It's not any big deal as to why. I'm not fussing as to why. It just shows how things are changing, but it shows how we're so in a society, post-Christian society, we're driven by entertainment. We're driven by success. We're driven by material things. We're driven by rewards and awards, and we're so excited when our children get accepted into medical school and when they get these popularity, whether it's homecoming or whatever it is, these things. What are we valuing? What are we teaching our children? What are we showing them is most important? What do you think it meant when Isaac brought Jacob and Esau together and conferred these blessings on them? What do you think it meant when Jacob would take his son and bring Joseph and bless his grandchildren? And what do you think it was saying to them? These were guys who grew up in Egypt. Jacob could have said, man, y'all doing pretty good. Y'all eating the fine wine, y'all eating the fine dining and stuff, and you're drinking the fine wine, and you're there with all the scholars and the educated people, and we're going to let them go on because they have hit success. You know what he said? You know, Joseph had the faith to see it and understand it and trust in it because he felt the same. But Joseph took his two boys and said, you know, they do. Man, they're on the best travel ball teams. They're in the prime of their life. They've got girlfriend, educated wives. I mean, they're sitting down with notorieties and people. They're famous. They're successful. Joseph could have said, there's going to be a shrine in my honor one day. My name's going to be up. What did he say? He says, I want my bones in Shechem. And he said, my sons. And then the granddaddy takes his two boys. He said, all the things that you've got and amassed, let me tell you what's important. There's a land. There's a blessing. There's a heritage. There's a legacy that you guys are going to experience. And it may be hundreds of years down the road, but God is faithful and these promises will come true. Just like Moses said, I'd rather leave Egypt and be with the lonely people of God than have all the masses and the masses of money in Egypt. What about you? What's important to you? Where do you spend your time and your money? What do you value? What do the kids see that you value? Guys, I preach so hard on this because I realize I'm failing at this. And it's easy for me to see it in my own life. And I know that if I'm seeing it in my own life, you see it. That's why the people of God are so important. There's accountability. There's strength in coming together. We need to hold each other accountable. We need to remind each other of the promises of God. We need to call people back to faithfulness. And that's exactly what Isaac was doing. That's exactly what Jacob was doing. That's exactly what Joseph was doing. He's saying, son, don't forget who you are. Don't forget whose you are. Don't forget that God called you by his name. He's got a plan and purpose for you. And don't get sidetracked, even if the promises are hundreds of years down the road. You be faithful to the end. Now, let me tell you guys, all of these men I mentioned to you, they died faithful to the Lord. They died well. And that's why the writer of Hebrews is raising them up. Go back to verse 21. I'm going to just read it all. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Do you know why he bowed in worship? Because they had told him that they would take his bones back to the promised land, to God's promised land. And but he leaned over that staff and he worshiped. That was found in Genesis 40, 7 or 48. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus. It was like Joseph prophesied it. Joseph saw it. Remember what I told you about these men? It says they didn't receive the things promised, but saw them from afar. Not only did Abraham see these things, but Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, they all saw God's promises from afar. They knew that there was a Messiah coming, the scapegoat. They knew that there was one that was going to save his people from their sins. Joseph here saw a deliverer that would lead the people out of Egypt. Jacob saw it. Joseph saw it. Verse 21, let me read it again. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites. And he said, don't forget me. I want to turn you back over to Genesis chapter 50. As we move, I'm going to give some points of application and we're moving toward the end here. Genesis chapter 50. At the very end of the whole 50 chapters. So Joseph remained in Egypt, he and his father's house. This is verse 22. Joseph lived 110 years and Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were counted as Joseph's own. Now look at verse 24. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. Then they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Does that make you think of anything else? Dying in faith is living in light of God's promises surely coming to pass. Faith doesn't forget where we came from and where we are going. Dying in faith, we desire to be in the middle of God's plan with God's people. These people, they wanted to be where God's people were, in the middle of God's plan. Faith doesn't forget where we came from or where we were going. I backed up and said that, sorry. Egypt, shrines, monuments, names written in history, being famous, being on the best travel ball team, getting all our children, getting all the rewards, having a sad how many parents are so excited when their daughters date a popular guy in school. I mean, that makes parents proud. I don't want to undermine this, but what do we value? What are we showing that we value for our kids? What are we teaching them? What are we really pushing them toward? Is it a life of making a lot of money or a life of living and dying for Christ? You know, look at Ken and Julia here, and I'm sure they hate when I call their names out, but I'm wondering what you're going to think one day when your children come to you and say, Mom and Dad, the Lord's called us to go to an unreached people group and live among them in hopes to develop relationships, to give our lives, to share the gospel so these people can know the glory of God and have a relationship with Jesus. How many parents would jump at joy for that? I know what you'd probably do. You'd probably try to convince them that they heard the wrong voice or the wrong call. Remember faith? Believing God's promises? Do you know that there's going to be a people and a nation and a different tongue around the throne of God from every tribe, nation? You know that God's purposes aren't going to be thwarted. He's going to take the misfits like you and I to help accomplish His purposes. We're to be faithful. We're to be faithful. When we get to the end of our road, we're still to be faithful. We're to trust God, knowing one day, do you believe that Jesus is coming back? Do you believe that He's going to judge the living and the dead? Do you believe that He's going to rule and reign for all eternity with His people there beside Him? Your life says a lot about what you believe. The way you spend your money says a lot about what you believe. The way you spend your time says a lot about what you believe. It's like the illustration of the guy that, let's see if I got it in my notes somewhere. It's like the guy that pushes a wheelbarrow across, he makes a tightrope across Niagara Falls, and he walks across it. Then he pushes a wheelbarrow across, and all these people are watching it. And then he puts 200 pounds in the wheelbarrow, and he pushes 200 pounds across the Niagara Falls in the wheelbarrow. And these people are just, man, they're cheering. They're mesmerized by this. And they said, how many of y'all believe that I could put someone in this and put a person in this wheelbarrow and push them across this tightrope across the Niagara Falls? And all these people raise their hands. And so the guy looks at this one man, and he says, okay, get up here. I want you to be in this wheelbarrow. And the guy took off running and was out of there. Do your lives show what you really believe about God? They really do. They really do. Only dying right with God, valuing His purposes and plans and people matters. What is most important? What do you teach your children about what matters most? I couldn't help but to think about being out at park and rec games, how many of our school children are worshiping God today and every day with their lives? It is said, rich materially and poor with God, we will die poor. If we die poor materially, yet rich with God, we die rich. Bible says, what profit a man if he gain the whole world yet loses his own soul? We have to trust Him. Those circumstances look different. Even though promises seem way in the distant future, faith sees and believes and trusts God no matter what and aligns our lives according to God's promises. Dying in faith, we are 100% confident God will accomplish His purposes and fulfill His promises. Bless you like Jacob, like Isaac. A blessing, a prophecy, conferring, reminding your children who they are and what God's done and how they're to live and how they're to die. Children, take my bones back to God's promised land. Do you tell your children and remind them who you are, what your purpose is, and how you want to be faithful to the end? In conclusion, there was a ship called the Empress of Ireland. This ship would go down in open seas. On board, there were 130 Salvation Army officers. Most drowned. Of the 109 that drowned, none had life preservers. Those that were left behind and those that survived said that these brave men gave up their vests, saying that they were prepared to die. They said, I know Jesus and I can die better than you. That's faith in the promises of God. They said, I'm prepared to die better than you. I know Jesus. Do you have dying faith? Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming to take His bride and to judge those who have been His enemies. He will rule and reign forever. We must be ready. And the way we are ready is we prepare now by believing God's promises and acting in faith to repent of our sins, to turn toward Jesus and walk daily with Him. In line with this faith, this infallible rule of faith and practice, the Old and New Testament scriptures, the authority of God, this is how we live a life of faith, in knowing God, in trusting God, in believing God, in surrendering and submitting to God, in being faithful to have peace and joy even in the last hours of our life. Are you His child? Are you teaching your children and grandchildren what is most important in life? And will you be found faithful until the end? Will you die faithful? well. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you what you teach us, what you show us. We thank you that, Lord, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Lord, I pray that this message from your word has met people where they are. I pray that we've all done introspection before you, that we've examined our hearts and lives. If we've asked, if we have saving faith, and if we see and understand by your Spirit, we've come to a conclusion, yes or no. And God, I pray that we would respond accordingly. I pray that those who can answer yes, that we would continue to confess our sin and surrender our lives fully and completely to Christ. God, for those who say no, that I'm not worried about the things of God, I'm only living for here and now, God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. I pray that they would surrender completely and fully, trusting in faith alone through your grace to save them, God. Not human effort, not human reason, simply the fact that you died in their place, loving them, God, knowing that you have a plan and purpose for their life. Lord, we trust you, we look to you, we surrender to you. Help us to hold each other accountable to your promises, to your ways, to your truths. May we endure, may we fight, may we labor, knowing that, God, the promises are sure and certain in Christ. They will come to pass. We must believe that. God, our lives will dictate whether or not we believe your promises. Help us to walk with you. Give us strength, give us faith, and help us to endure. We're thankful for your promises of Philippians 1:6, as Paul writes to that church of Philippi, that he who began a good work will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. We know that faith is your gift, and you help us in starting it, and you help us in keeping it even until the end. So, Lord, continue to hold us steadfast by your hand. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you stand as Brother Ken leads us? Respond as God calls you to respond.